Good morning, everyone. My name is Stephen, and I'm in charge of the data office. So my title is manager data services. As Andrew just briefly explained, I've been with the city for 3 years. I came from energy industry, IT, and quite a lot of different roles. I guess if I count how many hats I wear in City of Sydney, I'm in charge of the data governance framework, and also business intelligence, data analytics, and also, I guess, out all of them, another key aspect of my role is basically to lift people's skill set or develop people capability. So you will hear that through my presentation. So I guess my title is, can data governance be a fun thing to do? And I guess you would imagine I would talk you through, you know, why it's not fun and why it's fun. So I'll briefly explain to you what's our governance framework and explain to you, you know, what's our model, what's our operating model, what's our capability maturity model, and then I'll give you a few use cases. I think it's a bit dry if I keep talking about the theory without telling you some, I guess, good use case in the city. Okay, so we don't have a flicker, I believe. So some of the context for City of Sydney, you may not be able to see that LGA area. So basically, that's the local government area for City of Sydney. We are one of the largest council, and we provide a variety of services. So I guess I always think of, if I compare my own council where I live and compare with the city, maybe the city has wider or larger scope in terms of stimulate the economy, attract more people to invest in City of Sydney, and attract more tourist visitors, education sector. So it's quite a large range of services we provide. And we started data governance journey about 3 years ago. So when my role was created, it was created from scratch. So it wasn't there, and then I joined the city. And by then, I was a one-man shop. So I was tasked to come up with the governance framework and then to implement it. So it's a tough journey. We're still facing the resource constraints. So back then it was one person. Now I have 1.8. So still quite a tight resource. And in the city, because we have so many different services, so we ended up, we have, instead of one big major system, like maybe some of your agencies, we have a large customer system, and we have maybe around 200 to 300 systems. Some are large, and most of them are relatively small. So I guess that brings a challenge for governance. We're not talking about single system, we're talking about multiple and different size. And some, in some cases, we still use Excel worksheet. That's quite standard practice across the business. So we still have many system applications, and in terms of the maturity, how mature we are for data management, I guess we see different level across the business. Some people are quite good, already good, but some still at basic level. So let me give you a quick overview. You cannot read the words, but basically the maturity model or levels, so maturity levels we picked up is the 5-level model. So the first, the bottom left, is basically vulnerable. Level 1, vulnerable. Level 2, reactive. Level 3, compliant. Level 4, resilient. And level 4, proactive. Level 5, resilient. So this is the maturity level we like to grow from bottom to the top. And industry, I guess research, has shown most of the companies actually are staying at level 1 or level 2. I think we believe we are kind of level 1 and level 2. And maybe many people will say, why can't we aim for level 5? Level 5 is really involved high cost, you know, high commitment, so on and so forth. So percentage-wise, only less than 5% of organization can reach level 5. So it comes with a cost. I think we are quite happy to aim for level 3, which is the compliant one. to start with. So this is our maturity level, and it is widely used for many risk model and other maturity levels. So this slide, the next one is quite important slide we keep addressing during our conversation in the city. So this is basically the governance capability maturity level. And as I said before, it was a green field when I started, so we gone through multiple governance frameworks, and we adopted this one from a New Zealand government. So there are a few reasons we love this model. And on the top, you see five green rectangles. And I do love them because it's written in plain business language. I'll read you through. The first one, we document and control our data and process. So this means we have to know what we have. It's not a surprise sometimes people don't know what they have. And so we have to know what we have in terms of data, architect, framework. We need to know what we have. We need to document our processes. The second thing is we embed our responsibility. So when you talk about governance, one thing you cannot avoid is who is responsible for what. So this is the second focus area. The third one is we share a data language. So this means we encourage people using common language. So language is basically a problem when I stepped in this role, because we have so many different business terms, and people understand them differently. Like, what is a cookie, and what is a biscuit? I'm just using that as a sample. Like, when I went to US, I ordered chips, and I ended up having no chips. So they call it fries. So that's the typical scenario of business terms confusion. So that's why we have the third focus area in the middle is we share a data language. And fourth one is the easy one to get. We assure data quality. So quality is there, you know, all the time. And people get it straight away. Yes, we have poor quality problems. We need to improve our quality. And the last one is how we better use. We need to use our data smartly. So given you have first four, you have knowledge, common language, you have good quality, and the last thing is, are we using our data to the extent we should be using? So the last one you can think of, you know, business intelligence, reporting, dashboarding, you know, nice chart, so on and so forth, and discovery. So that's the five top focus area. And each area are underpinned by, we call it maturity areas at the bottom. So at the bottom is a little bit technical heavy. There are some terms. When I first time introduced this model to my business stakeholders, I found sometimes I'm talking about some things people don't get straight away. So communication is sometimes hard when you explain some technical terms in a business environment. So that's the focus area and the maturity areas. We have five on the top, 17 on the bottom. And the thing I circled in the middle is we have three fora, or three forums. So basically, first one is we call it data definition forum. You can tell from the word, it's focused on definition. So that forum, we gather people like this format. People come to the working group. We focus on definition. So on that event, we forget about other things. We just focus on what's the business term definition, who owns the definition, and what's the change process if we reach a consensus of a business term. And there are so many terms in the city. So this is the first forum. The second forum is quality. So again, focus on quality. And the last one is the BI, business intelligence and analytics. So we use that three forums as a vehicle to engage with the business. So we are data office or data services sitting kind of corporate support side or technical side. The business is on business side. So we use those three as a vehicle to engage with the team to say, come on board and let's focus on definition, quality, and BI. So this is the ongoing channel we use to engage with the business. Operating model. So I just briefly explained to you what the framework we have. And in terms of the delivery part, how do we deliver? I think I briefly mentioned some of the engagement channel as those three forums. So on the top is the highest decision-making board. It's called Executive Data Group, so EDG. So that group is basically decision-making has consisted of directors of all the business divisions. And also, we have the Chief Data and Information Management. So I report to the CDIO, Chief Data and Information Management. So that's on the top. In the middle, we created two working groups. One is the Customer Data Working Group. Let me maybe use the pointer. So we created the Customer Data Working Group in the middle, and that's the focus on data domain of customer information. And the second one is the asset. We basically started with these two because by then it was the priority area to improve the data quality. So that's two. And later on, we basically kind of created other priority areas like project, like workforce data. So this is the so we call that data working group. And in each division, vertically on each division, depends on the relevance they have, the representative join the working group. So this is called a data matter expert, or in short, DME. So it's basically another version of subject matter expert. We call them data matter expert. So they represent their business and join our working group to work with us. And data office, or my section, is here. So we oversee all those working groups. And also, as I mentioned earlier, we use the different forum to run the focus discussion. So that's basically our implementation model, operating model. So the last group is the subject reference group. In case if we, during our activity, during our journey, if we hit some problems like privacy, legal, security, those type of specialized field, then we consult our internal expertise to provide advice back to us. So that's how, in the city, how we run this governance framework. Okay, so governance activities coming from two sources. I show you the earlier one, the five rectangle, the framework, and this is basically reshape of that concept into different arrangements. So two main activities coming from either from by design, data governance by design, and second one is data governance by review. So it's kind of provide assurance and advisory services back to the business. So everything we do comes from these two streams. And this is another way of representing that five rectangle. So the first thing is your knowledge, your flow, your architecture. The second thing is your quality. And last thing is, as I said, reporting, dashboard report, business intelligence. And the enabler is basically people know their roles and responsibilities. And then the second enabler is we share common language. So that's a different representation of the one I just showed you before. Okay, and then for the next one, this one is issue-driven. Previous one was basically the governance framework driven. And what we also found during our journey, we found there are so many different business problems or business issues for data. So we cannot stop people to raise those things. So we created this this model. Basically, if you do have problems, you follow this process. So this process means you consult your internal expert if you can resolve it. If you can't, come to that office, and we provide you advice, and we provide you the guidance. And that office manage the knowledge base. So over time, we deal with so many problems, we deal with so many issues, and we retain that knowledge, we turn that into a knowledge base. And we put, you know, the case, what's the problem, how we resolve it, into a team site, and other people can see, or the working group can see how we resolve the problem. And also, we data office maintain the glossary, business glossary. That's the typical data governance product. And if data office cannot resolve the problem, then we either can pass on to working group, have group discussion, or we can basically escalate to the highest party, which is the EDG, which is to seek help from exact level and to resolve the problem. So that's a basic triage model for issue-related problems, business problems. And over time, when I look back, why we should have data services in the city, or what's the purpose of my section? So I found it's lined up quite well with city's purpose. The purpose statement for City of Sydney is three words: lead, govern, and serve. And I found our purpose for my section lined up very well. So we lead the frontage. You know, we lead the best practice in terms of data governance. So we lead the thing, and we basically lead the roadmap where we should go. And also we govern. We govern what's the best practice, what we should or we should not do in terms of data governance, and we serve our internal customer. So that's I find good alignment between the city's purpose and our purpose. And on the right-hand side, there are six words. That's the value of the cities, the value city embrace. So innovation, courage, integrity, quality, collaboration, and respect. And we like to encourage those values as well in our normal practice. Okay, so that's basically a very high-level view of the governance framework we have. And now I'd like to explain why governance is hard, and it is hard, data governance. There are so many common, I guess, factors to make it hard. When we communicate with the business, people say, what is for me? If I come to your working group, if I come to your journey, what is for me? What is for my team? What is for me? That's a legitimate question. And commonly, data governance involves change management. People need to change some behaviors, like do things differently. And also, it is a challenge to make people interested. When I did the socialization of our framework, I did maybe around 30 to 40 workshops, and it's very hard to articulate and to make people engaged and interested about things you are talking about, and also make them feel interested about things you want to deliver. And how to make it as a good one or successful one for the business. And also often governance involves a big investment. So as I said, we are running a very small team. So it is a hard thing to deliver such a wide scope and using a limited resource. And also another thing I found in the city is we are so busy. Each team is so busy. They are busy on BAU. So they do not have enough time to listen to you or even come to your party to do something. And also it's a corporate culture. So as we touched on people side, the culture side, it becomes a challenge itself to change the things or the behavior. And also some of the governance content, as I said before, it's technical and it's hard to explain. So all these, I guess, is just some factor why data governance is hard to do. And it's kind of a niche area. You can easily find many people for data management or data practitioner, but for data governance, it's a little bit niche area to find. We will come back to this later on. And next one is why fail? There are so many cases why data governance failed. I just used one article. There is a source at the bottom. So, because we often use a reactive mode rather than proactive, people running the show may not have the right knowledge and the right skill set or right passion. You need to be a solid believer when you try to deliver. And also the right skills may not be there to run the show. And I underlined two things as I see. I will come back to this next one. The business engagement. So you can have a fantastic governance framework, but if you not engage with the business, it's kind of useless if you're not there to resolve the problem. Also, engagement commitment. And another typical one is do not run that as a project. A project means it has the start and finish time. And data governance should be a program, should be an ongoing program rather than a project. Also, the last one is you need to have a realistic plan rather than aiming for everything. It's really hard to boil the sea. So this is some factors about why governments fail. Come back to the business engagement. So here are some, some findings. As the technical people, when we come to the business, how we engage them, we need to listen to the business. What's their purpose? Why they're there? What services they provide? What's the headache they have? The headache may not be the data-related headaches, but it's business headaches. What's the priority for them? What's the performance issues they may have? And I think coming to the data, what data they use to support their business, and then what insight they should have but they haven't discovered. So all these type of questions, I think understanding to this really helps us to have common language with business. So in last few years, I try to avoid like this person is a data person and I just don't know what he's talking about. And yeah, I sit there, I nod my head, but it just not with me. So those type of this is what I found useful. I think Andrew explained briefly. My background was coming from energy and quite broad experience and broad roles. That really helped me to understand when I talk to this business. I do understand their business plan, their interest, and also I learn something, a new thing every day. I think what I'd like to say is understand the business will help technical people to engage with the business. This is the key message. And through the conversation, we identify the opportunities. So I'm glad to say we basically always find there are problems we can resolve or we can help. This is the good thing about governance or running the governance. Always identify the opportunities to improve. Then if you end up help the business resolve some real problem, then the buy-in is there, very obvious. So the business shows strong interest if you're really there and you help them resolve the problem. So I'll show you a few use cases, as I said before. And another thing is the executive support. It is good if you do have a good executive level support. So top-down and bottom-up should work together for the implementation of the governance. And the last thing is, end of the day, all those activities we do with people. So this should align with the people improvement. So people learn something through the activities they come on board with you. So this is the bit. I will come back to the people side. Okay, so this is the business engagement findings for us. And I'm going to show you three business cases we did. Many people managed Trim, I believe. This is the use case we worked with our information governance team together. So in Trim, we have a support desk or help desk. We do so many tickets each year. So we work with the team together basically to look into all those service histories. What happened in the past? You know, what is the highest or popular activities when people come to Trim help desk for help? So through discovery, through data analysis of the history, we can discover a lot of insights. So the one circled is the most popular two types. I cannot remember which one is the second one, but I do remember the first one is basically people come to Jim Help Desk for delete a file. So then this is a good discovery. Then the team implemented the auto deletion process. So that's largely reduced the people intervention about deletion process. So this is really a good, I guess, good use case, we can say, data-driven decision-making. So because through this discovery found, deletion is the most popular thing, we turn that into automatic process, then we have less time spent on that part. We can spend time on doing more other important things. And also other things such as, you know, if we look at the user side, which section, which division always raise question, then that's an indication maybe we can tailor for some training process or training program to help them better understand how to utilize Trim. So this is the first use case. All those nice chart and reports are developed using Power BI. That's why I put the yellow logo there in Power BI. So this is the first use case. Now we don't have time to expand, so I just briefly expand to you. And the second use case. The background of this use case is city manage a lot, not a huge number, maybe around 100 or 200, we call them policies. The city's policy involve even, you know, fleet policy, alcohol, drink, code of conduct, so many policies. Some policies are endorsed by CEO, some policies are endorsed by the City of City Council. So that's a normal thing. So the governance team, the city governance team, normally use Excel worksheet to manage a register, policy register. So using such methods, nothing wrong, but there are some common problems using Excel-based register. So sometimes file gets corrupted, you resave another file, so that's a very common scenario. And then sometimes if a policy is due to be renewed, so each policy has a due date after 1 year, 2 years, 3 years have to be renewed. So each type of this renewal date, when it's coming, someone needs to eyeball the due date and send out reminders, guys, please remember this policy needs to be reviewed in the next 2 months or whatever. So that's the business context of all this background. And then the management always like to see how many policies due, how many policies being reviewed on time or delayed. So this is a reporting side of the interest. So using Excel is nothing wrong, but it's not as efficient as we would like. So then we turn that, we redesign the whole process using the, at the bottom of the screen, using four components of Office 365. Can I ask a show of hands, how many of you using Office 365? Thank you. Yeah. So literally, this is repeatable. This solution is repeatable in your organization or in your agency. So we used the four components of Office 365. We did the whole business or data transformation. So the end result is we turn all the storage from Excel worksheets into SharePoint list. So SharePoint list is the starting point, is the storage point. Then the flow will pick up the due date. So there is automatic flow running at the background. So if the due date is due, it will send out the email notification saying your policy list is due, please review. And then the admin have another automatic flow saying by the 30 days due date, I will manually press buttons and another reminder. So this is an automated process. And the nice chart at front is designed by Power BI. So all those reports say how many policies in total, how many outstanding, how many overdue, and by each division, this is the final chart, how many which division has the most policy in hand, for example, and pie chart, you know, word cloud, those type of visuals. So all this report has been developed, then it's just set and forget. Each time you want to see some reports, no people involvement required, you just open up and you see the report. And it's as handy as you would like. You can open any time. You do not require anyone to send me a monthly report, and that's a manual process. So that's the second use case. And the last use case I want to show you is address validation. So we maintain many custom addresses in our system, and sometimes accuracy of the address is a problem. And it's a common issue for many organizations, or either private or public. So to troubleshoot the address, we have different ways. And this is the tool we developed in conjunction with the team to say, how can I help the team to troubleshoot if there is a custom address, whether that address is valid, is correct or not. If its suburb should be Haymarket, that maybe in our system recorded as suburb as Sydney, for example. Just use that example. So many farms in address validation. So what we ended up doing with the business is we developed this validation tool using Power BI. So they can visually see, punch in an address and troubleshoot that address is there or not, or should be there or not. And that's one thing. The second thing is we can enable the business, okay, so when the admin come on board, they can see the dashboard, see how many problematic records each day. So it's a live operational dashboard. So that's a trigger for admin to come, okay, I've got three records last night created and questionable, so I need to work on those. So these are the this is the third use case. I guess all those use cases, the key message is if we are there to help and we resolve the business problem and we get the buy-in. Yeah, we're not there just to teach people some abstract concept of governance. Okay, so in terms of people, who are the right people to deliver or to implement? What I found useful is people must be able to articulate. You need to articulate using plain language when you talk with the business, and you need to understand their points. And then you can promote your governance concept. And engagement, as I mentioned before, and able to convince people even across the business management level. And also good to have helicopter view versus detail view when you're in the position. And identify the opportunity, problem solving. And the last thing is the interesting concept. Red people and blue people. Business team, business people normally understand a lot of business concept, understand the business process. And the technical people normally understand technical quite well, understand data management, SQL, data queries, so on and so forth. So I guess to be a best person to implement data governance would be the purple people. Which means you need to understand the business, and also you need to understand the technical thing together. So it's the purple color, the right people to implement this. And I said this in a couple of workshops, and people come back to me, yes, I really like the way you explained, and I like to be a purple later on. Yeah, that's good. That's a bit rewarding. Okay, so We are forming the culture of improvement. I guess we're doing hard on this. As I said, we have three forums. And what we found is over time, people have less interest in definition, people have less interest in quality, and people show strong interest in business intelligence. And so reporting, dashboards, you know, nice chart, people always feel interested. So we just use that opportunity. We use that as a vehicle. That's the hot topic. We use the hot topic to trigger some cold conversation. So what happened is we run a couple of Power BI information sessions. We run, so far, I think we briefed about 300 employees in the city about how to use Power BI to help them to do business reporting. And then we're forming a user group, Power BI user group. This is the at the bottom part. Power BI user group. I guess we use this as a channel to engage with the business, and because they show strong interest in the report side, and we use it. But later on, once they see the figure on the report is not correct, then we go back. You have quality problem. If people are saying, okay, I do not understand that figure, then you go back further. That's the definition problem. So we use that method to trigger some hard or cold conversation. So I guess I'm glad to say at the moment the culture of improvement on the Power BI side, it is we are running well in this space. We're still working on this. It's basically it's a running place for the BI. For the people side, come back to the people side. I think what I enjoyed over the last 3 years running the show, running the governance framework, is those good moments when people come to you say, okay, come to you to explain to you, actually you motivate them to learn more. So this is the rewarding experience. I have people come to me saying, you know, I've been in your workshop and I feel I'm interested to go down further. I'd like to learn more. So can you help me? So this is a really good sign. And also those pinpoints like, this is great. I don't know you can do this. And this type of comment, I guess, trigger some good conversation and show strong interest from the business. And we have a case, the team, one area either didn't know or couldn't believe we can do this. Then we did this, we turned around in a very short period of time, and they basically surprised. They didn't know they can discover such insights through the history of last 2 years conversation, or sorry, transaction. We help them to discover, then they come on board with us, and then we work together and delivered a couple of cases. So the blue text, this is something I liked from Deloitte. I think when it comes to internal co-creation, upskilling current employee is by far the most popular method of building most organizations' analytical capabilities. I guess another way to read this is we like to run our governance framework, but we also like to grow our people. And we like to grow our internal staff. Yeah, this is the key message. Last thing to wrap up. We're not there yet. It is a long journey. It is a tough journey. And to make governance as usual, it is hard. And it requires investment, resource, and so on and so forth. So at the moment, we are running at the voluntary base. So we do not have the resource level to say every single business area must engage with us. We don't have such resource to cope with that load. And governance should always support the business priority and grow people, as I said before. And win-win situation is the way to go. So if we can grow together and resolve problems together and learn experience together, that's the way I pursue during this implementation process. And it's a fun process. That's what I have.